Hello, and welcome to another Arsblog Arscast on arsblog.com in association, as always, with OleOle.com, the football community website. We have got for you an action-packed show, so we do. Coming up between now and the end, a blog chat with a good player in which we discuss the games against Tottenham a little bit, Sevilla. Also, a look ahead to the Derby game, and we chat about Jose Mourinho. In fact, he's not a Jose, he's a Jose. He's an unemployed Jose at the moment, so we chat a little bit about him. The man in the bar is here. He's got a player history. There's some other bits and bobs in there as well. And there'll be some discussion about, you know, all the various stuff that's going on, including Red and White and their increased holding in Arsenal Football Club, and what Alisher Usmanov and his lawyers have been up to this week when it comes to censoring other websites. So that's all to come between now and then. But since the last Arscast, things have gone swimmingly well. We had a wonderful time in Dublin in the Woolshed. Oh, before I start, beer of the week, San Miguel. Cheers, Das. A big crate of San Miguel in the bottle. Lovely. Chilled. So there you go. Oh, you want? No, hang on. Spanish. Now, in the Woolshed last Saturday, Woolshed is this this big pub here in Dublin. That's sort of southern hemisphere, shall we say. So they focus on Australian, New Zealand rugby and all that sort of stuff. So at 12 o'clock on Saturday, New Zealand were playing Portugal, I think, in the World Cup in rugby. And at 2 o'clock, there was Australia versus Wales. Now, the Arsenal match was on one telly, up against a wall. We were beside a speaker which was blasting out the commentary from the rugby at about 150 decibels. But there was a massive crowd of Arsenal fans there. It was fantastic. I don't know how many of them came along because I read it on the website that it was going to be on there. But we did meet a few new faces and put some names to faces, people that use the arses, etc., etc. But it was all great fun. But we made much more noise than all the Aussies and all the New Zealanders. Even when Australia scored a try against Wales, there was no noise like the noise there was when Fabregas scored his goal. And when Adebayor scored his goal, the place nearly erupted, I have to say. So it was wonderful, and a great day out, and a great win. 3-1 at White Hart Lane. I don't know, what can you say? This team just keeps on, well, not surprising us, I don't think that's the right word, but it keeps on pleasantly, okay, maybe surprise is the right word, a little bit, you know, but it was quite emphatic. But what a hilarious game it was. It was really brilliant. For a neutral, it would have been fantastic. For an Arsenal fan, it's fantastic. For a Spurs fan, it was absolute shite. but, you know, things like Berbatov's one off the line and Darren Bent's miss was just hilarious. £16.5 million they played for that. I play football with some guys that, you know, we're sort of getting on in years. We really are. We can't run too fast or too far or very often. But I think I have to say that were we put one-on-one with a keeper, even at our level, we could do better than Darren Bent did when he sort of spooned his shot. It wasn't even a shot, was it? It was like I don't know. It was like some kind of retarded seal flapping its seal flappy things. What do they call them? Fins, those, whatever the fuck they are. It was hilarious, though. Absolutely hilarious. Made even more so by Adebayor's fantastic goal. For me, goal of the season so far. And people talk about the first touch. I think he meant it. I think he meant that first touch. Because when you look at the replay where the ball is sort of face on, he sort of makes this little dinky move with his foot, and I think he meant to do that. So for me, an absolutely fantastic goal. And then on Wednesday, we played Sevilla. And Sevilla, who have been in great form, they won 4-1 the weekend previously. They've beaten Real Madrid this season 5-3 at the Bernabeu in the Super Cup. So they're capable of pulling off great results and doing good things. They really didn't look too dangerous at all on Wednesday night. Again, Cesc is in the goals. He is a goal machine at the moment. And I, you know, you keep thinking, well, maybe I should put a bet on him now to score a goal. But, you know, the minute I put a bet on somebody to score a goal will be exactly why they stop scoring goals. So I'm not putting any money on him to score goals. Van Persie got a goal. And, of course, Eduardo came on and showed what he can do. I don't know. The difference now, what I said on the blog, is the difference last year when we were bringing on someone like Ali Adier or Batista, and they come on and they blunder around, they don't do anything. Eduardo comes on and he can score. He can make an impact in a short period of time, and he's showing that he's beginning to settle down very nicely into Arsenal and into English football, although both his goals have been in European games. So maybe I don't have the first clue what I'm talking about here. But that wouldn't be the first time, would it? No, definitely wouldn't. Bakary Sagna looks like a real player at right back, doesn't he? He's magic. I love him. He's really strong, very, very good defensively. He's such an improvement on both Eboué and Hoyt. And I liked Hoyt last year, and I liked the way that he improved and got better. But Sanya's a different class altogether. And, of course, his little kick to Tom Huddlestone, who looks... He's got a name that sounds like he should be wearing a flat cap. Huddlestone. But Sanya kicked him. It was fantastic. After he was messing with Almunia, I think he's going to be a big signing for us. So before I go on and waffle about all the players, we'll have this week's blog chat where we talk to Good Player from goodplayer.com. This week's blog chat is brought to you in association with TD Sunbeds. This week, get 6 sessions for the price of 4. For more information, click onto our website, www.orangeandproud.com. Okay, joining me now on the Arsecast to talk about the last week's football and a very enjoyable week's football is Good Player from goodplayer.com. Hello.
Hello.
Robin van Persie, after the game last night, or on Wednesday night against Sevilla, said that Arsenal were playing football from another planet. Is he right?
No, not really. But that doesn't really matter. It's a youthful exuberance and enthusiasm, and that's fine, really. I don't think we are playing football from another planet. We're playing very effective football and good football, but it's not from another planet, no.
The results are from another planet, though, really, aren't they? Because a 3-1 win at White Hart Lane, followed by a 3-0 win over Sevilla, who really are one of the form teams in Europe. Two cracking results within a week, and it goes a little bit further to show us that this Arsenal team is really made of something.
I think it does. What's interesting to me is it's small things which are making the difference in a way. Fabregas kind of just being a bit more efficient with his shooting, etc. The team having a bit more confidence and just a general just being a bit smarter, a bit more thrifty with our play. Last season there was a lot of air, a lot of flow, if you like, and not much success. But this year we're being pretty efficient, I think, as Wenger would say. If you look at the Tottenham game, last year's one ended 2-2. This year's one, in theory, could have. But we just seem to have that certain sharpness that certainly Tottenham lacked, and that seemed to make the difference.
What do you think is making it? Because the team spirit is really obvious. And it's too easy, I think, to point to the departure of Thierry Henry to say that's what's bonded the team and what's brought them together. But something has happened to consolidate this group of players during the summer, hasn't it?
I think that's right. I think it's very sloppy to say that, you know, the departure of Henry has done that. What struck me last season was that we were underachieving. If you looked at players like Hleb, they were greatly underachieving because he's a very good player and he was playing badly. If you look at Fabregas, he wasn't scoring enough goals, and we weren't defending well enough. I mean, we didn't even concede many goals. We conceded them at terrible times. And it feels as though the team looked at themselves and said, God, we can actually do a hell of a lot better than this. We're far better than we're showing. And I think maybe that realisation has galvanised them a little bit, and things have gone, you know, people have stepped up to the plate. Hleb did it at the beginning of the season, as did Van Persie. Recently, it's been Fabregas and Adebayor, and I think it's a roller coaster, a snowball effect, if you like.
So while we have guys like Sescu scoring goals for fun, and Rosicki and Hleb and Adebayor, who have been productive this season, we'll say, you look at somebody. I want to talk a little bit about Matthew Flamini, and to me, he's a player who's quite underrated and doesn't necessarily get the credit he deserves. But whether you put him at right back or you play him in midfield or you play him at left back, you get 110% all the time. And his work is really vital to allow the team to play, to allow the likes of Fabregas and Rosicki to play the sort of football they like to play.
I think you're right. I think sometimes you have to put your hands up and say that you've been surprised by a player. And I think Matthew Flamini in the last few games, whether it be at right back or centre midfield, has played better than I thought he was capable of, full stop. And so I duffed my cap to him, if you like. I was at the Seville game last night, and one arch cynic said, he said, oh, the problem is that Flamini will think he can do more than he can, and then he'll start making silly passes. You watch in a month or so, we'll be sick of him, which I think is very, very unfair. But I think he's come in and he's done a very, very good job, and he's got boundless energy, and, you know, energy can make up for so much. If you look at, he's the one player who will always throw himself at the ball when a free kick comes in, rather than turning his back on it and letting it fly off his shin, etc., like Sivabue will. And that's a, you know, energy and commitment is a huge, huge thing.
Okay. What about Eduardo? Again, he came off the bench against Sevilla, like he did in the previous Champions League qualifier, and got a late goal. He's surely showing now that he's up for a start, and that when he comes on, he can do something.
I think so. I think there's no real argument with that. He'll take time in terms of overall play. He'll take time to settle in. He's very much a poacher, if you like. So perhaps whereas other players would have brilliant, whereas Henry came with great technical skill, but without the poaching instinct, with Eduardo, maybe it's slightly the opposite. But he's done fantastically well so far, because it's very hard to come on into a team which has already had a couple of substitutions and has been jigged around a bit. So I think he's done brilliantly.
Okay. Looking ahead to Derby at the weekend, you have to think 3 points is the order of the day, but I suppose any team can surprise any other team, as we saw on Monday night when Derby beat Newcastle. So is there a danger of being a little bit complacent and getting carried away with our results? We have to stay focused.
I think there's a big danger of doing that. The one difference I've noticed this season for us is that we're no longer considered the team that everyone wants to beat. You know, the kind of the aura of the Invincibles has worn off. You know, the players have gone. And now it's Chelsea and Man United that everyone wants to beat. And we haven't had that so far this season, so we've played without pressure. Now, for the first time, you know, there's a tiny bit of pressure. It's a great kind of pressure. It's a pressure that says we can go 5 points ahead of United and Chelsea on Saturday evening, and knowing that at least one of them, maybe both of them, will drop more points on Sunday. Of course, we've got to play the big teams at some point as well, and we haven't played any yet. But suddenly there's a tiny bit of pressure in that we can actually really consolidate our position there. So it'll be interesting to see how they react.
Okay. In the absence of Rosicki, what would you do with the left-hand side? Diaby seems to be struggling out there.
He is struggling out there because he doesn't really attack brilliantly. He doesn't really defend brilliantly. I think if he's going to make it, he's going to make it in the middle. And I hope he does, because he's got fantastic talent. He needs to get stuck in a bit more. What would I do on the left-hand side? Well, he could play Walcott there, depending on how he feels about Derby. He could play Eduardo there, in theory. Or he has a kind of stable full of very small central midfielders who he could push out there. Danielson, Diarra, etc. Flamini, in theory, if Gilberto returns. You know, the choice is there. And, of course, Alex Song can no doubt play left midfield as well. Wenger will tell us on Friday, I suspect.
All right, then. A quick word about our friends at Stamford Bridge. It's not really a surprise to see Mourinho leave in one respect, because we know the relationship between himself and Abramovich has been fairly non-existent for the last 6 months or a year. But in terms of what he did for Chelsea Football Club and the success that he brought to them, it is a surprise that they've let him go and replaced him with Avram Grant.
Well, it is astonishing, but it's all part of their very, very short-term way of thinking, I think. And this is, I mean, I don't think there could be any clearer illustration of why we should be, you know, this current board that we have, you know, they're very much chase stability, etc. And stability is crucial. Stability is vital. And I think, you know, it's a battle of it. It's been a battle of egos at Stamford Bridge. You know, I mean, stupid things have happened. Can you imagine, you know, the board signing players and telling Wenger to play them, etc. It's very interesting. It's a shame in one sense, because Mourinho was great value. Yes, he was arrogant. Yes, he whinged, all of that stuff. And sometimes you didn't feel that the way he behaved was in the best interest of football, but he was great value. I always felt that Wenger could never walk away from Arsenal while Ferguson and Mourinho were still in their jobs. I just didn't think he'd be able to leave at that, and that kind of tells you that Mourinho was brilliant in it, like him one sense.
Chelsea worse off without him, no doubt.
Undoubtedly so. It's so hard, and this is what I don't think Tottenham board realise. It's so hard to get a successful manager. and whatever you think, he was successful. He hadn't won the Champions League for them, but I mean, how many managers win the Champions League? How many retain it? It's not a precise, football's not a precise science. The Champions League is a very, very, very imprecise science. Mm. And so, you know, there's not a lot you can do. But I mean, the one thing you would say is that Mourinho didn't create these, you know, teams who played a fantastic brand of football, and that's never going to help you, and that's probably contributed to their terrible attendance against Rosenberg. That and having a board who are so out of touch that they thought reducing tickets to £36 would be some kind of inducement, in contrast to our board who've managed to fill the ground for the Newcastle game. So I suppose Mourinho, he didn't help himself with the kind of football they played, I imagine.
Okay, well, it's telling, isn't it, that when he did try to change the style a little bit to make it more exciting, they instantly became much less effective and much more vulnerable at the back.
But, I mean, we're 5 games into the season.
Yeah, that's true as well. All right, well, good player. We better leave it there for this week. We'll talk to you on another Arsecast soon. Thanks.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you.
And my thanks to good player. He'll be back on another Arsecast in the very near future. Now then, just a quick mention about oleole.com. It's a football community website which you can join. It's sort of like MySpace or Facebook, one of those kind of things. But also, if you're one of those people that uses Facebook, and I have to say, I'm not. I think the whole thing is a big fucking load of shite. But that's just my opinion. There are lots of people out there that use it. You can get an oleole.com widgety application thing, apparently, so you can ole ole and Facebook at the same time. Whatever the hell that means. So if that's your thing, well, fair play to you. Weirdo. Still to come, talk of Alisher Usmanov and also Red and White and their holdings and things that have been going on with websites being taken down. That's still to come. Now, though, the man in the bar has got another player history. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to another old player history with me, the man in the bar. Just before we get on to the player history, I want to talk a bit about that old fella Mourinho. What got the sack? Ha ha! Fucking good enough for him, the cunt. And good enough for that fella sits down the end of the bar there. You see him? Chelsea Charlie, we call him. His name is Charlie. He's a Chelsea fan. Cunting Chelsea Charlie, I call him, because, you know, he's a bit of an old cunt as well. Crippled cunting Chelsea Charlie, I call him sometimes as well, because he's only got one leg. He's got a wooden leg, you see, so he can't walk. Christmas-hating, crippled, cunting Chelsea Charlie, I call him sometimes as well, because he's not terribly fond of Christmas. Crisp-eating, Christmas-hating, crippled, cunting Chelsea Charlie, I call him sometimes as well, because he's always got a pack of potato on the bar in front of him. Cheese and onion flavour. Anyway, he won't be happy. Happy, Charlie, happy! Yeah. Typical Chelsea fan. Never liked him anyway, he says. Anyway, fuck him. This week, we're talking about Nigel Winterburn, who was a fine man of a left back. He had only got the one foot, not quite literally, but his right foot was only for the standing, you see, which made his first games at right back for Arsenal a little bit difficult. But then he got settled into the old famous back four, along with Lee Dixon and Tony Adams and Steve Bould, and he played at left back. He was involved in some wonderful Arsenal moments when Brian McClare missed a penalty. And there was old Nigel on hand to goad the shite out of him all for the rest of the game. Oh, Jesus, it was hilarious. There was the old brawl, you see. Remember that one at Old Trafford? Deducted points? Did it matter? It did not matter to this Arsenal side. He was involved in the old Cup Winners' Cup triumph and the Cup Winners' Cup non-triumph a year later. And then Arsene Wenger took over and he looked at the old back four and he said, they're all fucking ancient, I'm getting rid of them. But then he decided not to. He invented a capsule, you see, in which he placed these four older players and he pumped a mixture, a patented mixture of oxygen, hydrogen and whiskey fumes around this old capsule, which extended their careers by many, many years, you see. Nigel Winterburn was actually 72 when he retired from Arsenal and went to play for West Ham for a season or two. Nobody knew, and he's still getting 40 grand a week at Upton Park. Legend of a man, so he was. Nowadays, he does a bit of the old media work, a bit of this, a bit of that. But if you've got a problem, and no one else can help, and you can find him, you can call Nigel Winterburn. Good night, you Winterburn.
Man in the Bar will be back on next week's Icecast with another player history. Now, before we continue, a short commercial break. Have you got financial worries? Debts you can't pay? Cash flow problems? Well, why not talk to Red and White Investments? We'll pay you cash up front for your Arsenal shares, no questions asked. We'll even buy way over the market value because we want to help you that much. But don't take our word for it. Listen to what our clients have to say.
Well, I was having severe cash flow problems when I signed up with Red and White. Now I've got £75 million in the bank. And not only that, Red and White have helped me get my career back on track. Thank you, Red and White.
So if you've got Arsenal shares you don't know what to do with, call Red and White today on 1-890-328-2868. Red and White is owned by lovely, cuddly people who love kittens and helping people, not by shady Eastern Europeans. The value of your investment may go up as well as down, as may the levels of polonium-210 in your bathroom. And there you go. So, now, you can't really have escaped the fact during the week that Alisher Usmanov's Red and White group has been buying up big chunks, and small chunks, and little bits of Arsenal shares. And at the moment, their shareholding amounts to 21%. Of Arsenal Football Club. The board, of course, remain resolute against that. And we've had Keith Edelman, we've had Peter Hillwood talking this week as well. And the board are, and will remain, I suppose, directly opposed to any kind of a takeover, and especially a hostile sort of a takeover, which is what this is. Now, some interesting developments last night when I got an email from Craig Murray, who is the former British ambassador to Uzbekistan, who had a website, whose website made certain allegations against Alisher Usmanov. Now, I repeated one headline of that and linked to Craig Murray's website and was in receipt of a legal action from Alisher Usmanov's lawyers who asked me to remove that thing. So I did. I believe Usmanov's lawyers also contacted, not Craig Murray himself, but his web host, the people that host his website, and informed them that this content was defamatory and the web host really had no choice but to take it down. And this has sort of been ongoing, I think, over the last little while. Now, last night, Craig Murray's website was down completely, and he emailed me to say that the website was down. But not only his website was down, a number of other big blogs were down, including Bloggerheads, which is a site that's very well known. Also, Bob Piper and also Boris Johnson's website is gone because of these legal threats. Now, I should point out that while Craig Murray's site is gone and Tim Bloggerheads is gone because of content, the reason Boris Johnson's site is down is because it shares a server with these sites. So what they've done is they've taken down the entire server and all the websites on that server, whether or not they're related to anything to do with Alisher Usmanov or not. If you look at the column section of the Arsblog website, there was a little link to a site called Chicken Yogurt. And he's got a public service announcement on there. And you can see that it's been picked up right across the sphere of blogs. A lot of these blogs are political blogs. And they tend to have a very, very big readership. But it is being picked up that Alisher Usmanov is directly responsible for these websites being taken down. The lawyers are sending the letters and the legal threats to the web hosting companies. And the web hosting companies, because they don't just host one site or two sites, they have a responsibility to the rest of their customers, you see. Because you could have a server with 100 websites on it. And if, you know, the legal threat comes in, if you don't take this down, we could have the whole server taken off. Well, then, you know, you're not in any position because you've got responsibilities to other clients, etc., etc. You're not in any position to refuse that. And that's why these websites are going down. It is, I think, particularly negative to have somebody that owns 21% of Arsenal Football Club involved in something like this. And I think, as well, we have to be very cautious and very aware of what it is that we say. Because it's fairly obvious that Alisher Usmanov is determined to make sure that anything negative or posted about him on a blog or anything else is taken down. What you will find is, I suppose, if you go looking in Google, if you wanted to find the original text of Craig Murray's article that caused the problems, it's relatively easy to find if you can do that with Google. Because no matter how many websites you shut down, or how many web servers you shut down, or how many legal threats you make, this stuff will stay on the internet forever. That's it, basically. There'll always be somebody who's got a copy of it who will put it up somewhere where it's really, really difficult for other people to get it taken down. So, I don't know. The whole thing is a bit wrong. It feels a bit wrong to me. And I have to say again that I feel terribly, terribly uneasy about Alisher Usmanov owning 21% of Arsenal Football Club. And I feel terribly uneasy that David Dean, a man who professes to love Arsenal Football Club, can bring Alisher Usmanov to a point where he owns 21% of our football club. That is down to David Dean as well. So the whole thing is just horrible. It's a horrible thought that this guy could get his hands on Arsenal Football Club. As it is, he owns 21%, and as it is, what he's doing at the moment, to me, is embarrassing as an Arsenal fan, and as somebody who's had a blog for 5.5 or 6 years, it's kind of embarrassing that this guy somehow is representative of Arsenal Football Club. It's just minging. That's all I can say about it. It is just fucking wrong. And I really hope as many fans as possible realize how wrong it is and how unrepresentative of what we all consider Arsenal to be, Alisher Usmanov and to my mind, David Dean are not. So there you go. There was a story during the week you would have seen where Tottenham invited David Dean to the North London Derby to be their guest. The Tottenham board invited David Dean. Obviously just up to shenanigans, I think. Taking the piss a little bit. Apparently he was sat at the very next table but didn't exchange any words apart from a quick hello with Arsene Wenger, who then sat down with the Arsenal board. This was written, of course, by our old friend Mihir Bose on the BBC. He's now the BBC sports editor or something like that. The BBC sports editor, indeed. And he's got his own blog. The last line of his report said, Tottenham, meanwhile, are amused by Arsenal's reaction to them inviting Dean. A wonderful comment underneath from Damian Jones writes, Arsenal's board, meanwhile, were amused by Arsenal's victory over Spurs. Ha ha! Touché, sir. Fantastic. So there you go. That's what's going on at the moment. Boardroom stuff and Dean and Usmanov, and it's all just all a little bit sour, if you ask me. Now, a little bit of news or something.
There was much hilarity at White Hart Lane this weekend as Tottenham failed to win in the North London Derby for the 92nd time in a row. Despite spending several £100 on players this summer, Tottenham were as effective as drinking a pint of ale to ward off TB. Worst of the lot was striker Arthur Bent, who cost £48.11. He missed unbelievably from just 3 yards outside the goal. Many Arsenal fans wet their pants with laughter.
Wet our pants indeed, some of them did, but mostly it was because of the beer, not because of the laughter, although the laughter contributed to the pant wetting, you see. So there you go. Talk a little bit about football, will we? Before the end, we've got Derby County tomorrow, and I looked at Derby in the first few games of the season, and I thought, oh my God, that's the worst team I've ever seen. They're really, really bad. And they were really bad. They made Tottenham look good. That's how bad they were. And they got taken apart by Liverpool and the whole lot. And I sort of figured they'd get beaten by Newcastle the other night. But apparently Newcastle were even worse than they were. So that's probably good for Derby. And we do appear to have some injuries. Thomas Rosicki injured again. It's such a shame he keeps getting injured, because I like him as a player and I like the way he plays. And he kind of runs on the front of his feet. I like that. He's kind of movie. I don't know how to describe it, but I like that. But what I don't like is the fact that he always gets injured. He seems, you could see him going off the other night, and he knew it was his hamstring, and he knew, you could see he was really frustrated and really angry about it, but I don't know. What's going on with Thomas Rosicky's hamstrings? So he won't play, and Hleb got a kick on the knee, and Lehmann is still out, Aboué is still out. Senderos might be out with a dodgy hip. I don't know. I don't know who is out. But we'll see. We should really have enough for Derby, because maybe their result against Newcastle was a one-off. But at the same time, we can't be complacent. We've had good wins against Tottenham. We've had a good win against Sevilla. Really, really good win against Sevilla. And that will build confidence. But we do, like Arsene Wenger says, have to keep our feet on the ground. I thought it was really, really interesting to watch Robin van Persie in the post-match interview. He was so full of confidence, you'd almost say he was a little bit cocky when he was talking about the football from a different planet and you know, etc., etc. And I like the fact that he's so enthused, and I like the fact that he's got such confidence in himself and in his teammates. That's fantastic. But maybe we just do need to keep our feet on the ground a little bit at this stage. The season has only really just begun, and while we've had a great start, there's still plenty of football to be played between now and the end of the season. The Carling Cup on Tuesday against Newcastle. You can be quite sure that Fat Sam will put out as strong a Newcastle side as he possibly can, because he knows that Arsenal are going to put out a relatively young squad. It'll be a big chance for maybe the likes of Fabianski, someone like Bentner might start, Diarra might start, Traore as well, the man who brought a knuckle duster to White Hart Lane. I mean, when you think about it, he brought a knuckle duster down there. I mean, I don't know. And then said, I didn't know it was wrong. We do this in France all the time. Like, people go, what, I'm going to the supermarket. Oh, don't forget your knuckle duster, darling. Strange boy, but he'll probably play on Tuesday night. So we'll see what happens. So plenty of football, and it's all been good fun, hasn't it? So I can't think of anything else to talk about. So I'm now going to go and finish my beer. Oh, yeah, you should thank Mrs. Bloggs for this particular Arsecast, I meant to say, because tonight is actually my wedding anniversary. 5 years married today. Unfortunately, I had football training and then an Arsecast to produce for tonight. So we have to go out tomorrow night and celebrate. So and be thankful to Mrs. Bloggs for being so very, very understanding. Very, 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 very understanding. Thank you, Mrs. Bloggs. That's it. Talk to you on next week's Arsecast. Have a good one. Bye. Tottenham Hotspur Soccer Skills video, how to score when one-on-one with the keeper, with Darren Bent, take one. Take two. Take three.
Oh my God, you hit my baby!
Take four. Take five. Take six.
This is Spatial Mediocre reporting a very strange spherical object to the right-hand side of the aircraft a long way out of Earth's orbit.
Take seven. Take eight. Take nine. Take 6,422.
Saturday afternoon. I'm Darren Benn, and I am the greatest. Yay!